And today our subject is God's blessing to the righteous. And the psalm this evening is Psalm 92. And I'm going to read some verses. I'm going to try to see if Rosny can help me with the PowerPoint. I think it's frozen. That's it. Thank you. Psalm 92. And I'm going to read a few verses and then we stop for a moment and we are going to pray. This is a beautiful psalm. And tonight we are going to reflect upon these words before we come to the Lord's table. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. How great are your words, Lord? How profound your thoughts. Senseless people don't know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. Shall we read together these verses? You righteous. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Shall we pray? Father, we place into your hands our time together. Father, we want to hear your voice. We want to come around your table and we want to receive the blessing that you have prepared for us. Father, we confess that we are sinners and that we need you. So, Father, receive our time together. Father, we place into your hands our time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Psalm 92. And we are going to talk about God's blessing to the righteous. It's interesting that in the Jewish tradition, this psalm, as the title says, you check in your Bibles and you will see the titles, is a psalm for the Sabbath day. Now, some of the ancient Jewish commentaries, they see Sabbath day as pointing to the age of the Messiah. So some Jewish commentators said, the Sabbath day is pointing to the age of the Messiah. But other groups, they says, they treat it as Sabbath of the day of judgment. Now, today, we are not going to try to establish which one is right or which one is wrong. The psalm for us starts with a declaration. So we say together, it is good to praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord with music, to proclaim his love in faithfulness. That's what we do when we come together. We praise the name of the Lord with music, with our hands, with our mouth. And then the psalmist describes God's work and his judgment. It's interesting how he moves. He explains about God's activity is seen both in his words of creation and in his rule over the affairs of people. And then in the verses 4-7, the psalmist elaborates on God's praiseworthy actions. He says, how great are your words, how great you are, how profound your thoughts. But then he says that people who are dominated by sensuality, people by moral perversity, people who say, there is no God. I don't care about God. But these people, he says, senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. What is it that they don't understand? Well, they don't understand that sometimes though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. They don't understand it. You know? Why is it that that happened? Well, they don't understand. And then later, he says, in the morning, in Psalm 90, verse 6 says, in the morning it is spring up new, but in the evening it is dry and wither. And it seems to me that perhaps the psalmist implied that their short life, prosperity, the wicked short life, their prosperity, their success is an intentional lesson to the godly, to those who want to follow him. It's a lesson for us. The enemies of God will be destroyed. Then in verses 10 to 15, he elaborated the personal blessings and God's goodness to the righteous. And here we have a picture of growing. We have a picture of how a Christian should grow. God's blessings to the righteous. The moment we come to Jesus, the moment we surrender our life to Jesus, we are born again. That's what we believe. Born again Christians. It's a new birth. But God doesn't intend us to remain babies. He wants us to grow. And here we have the picture how we are supposed to grow. And we have two things here. We have two pictures and one description. And then the first, as we come to the Lord's table this evening, I invite you to reflect about two pictures and a description. But I invite you just to stop, really stop and think, what is it that the Lord is telling us? The first picture is, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Verse 12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. There are all over 300 species of palm trees, growing from 3 to 100 feet tall. That kind of tree are there. And then historically, the palm tree has been called the representative tree of Palestine. You remember when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry, what is it that we have? Palm trees. People use that. So, but as we come to the Lord's table, let's reflect about this tree. The palm tree is an unusual tree. And let's see the characteristics. This is what I found out. The first one, it has a stature, gray high. Have you seen a palm tree? A real palm tree. A real Christian has a stature. I don't know you. I don't know anything. I feel shame about even my garden. I don't know how to look. I don't know. I admire you when you look after your garden. And then I cannot identify the trees, but I can identify a palm tree. Okay? Some people say, for me, it's a tree. Okay? It's a flower. But when I see a palm tree, I can identify. When a Christian is a Christian, we can identify that person. That's what the psalm is saying. He has a great height in stature. He has a strength to withstand storms. Have you seen the hurricanes, the storm in Miami, and we see in Central America? Do you see these winds? The palm tree goes like, come back. A Christian, a righteous person, we go through hardships and difficulties, we have strength. The blessing from the Lord is that we have the strength to carry on, not to feel sorry for ourselves, but just to go. And then we have another picture. It has springs, snaps back. Okay, Paul says we can be there and battered and persecuted, but we come back. We press on. That's the picture of a palm tree. Another picture is that this is quite interesting. It will only grow where? In warm climates. My mom is from Esmeraldas, it's a city in the coastal region of Ecuador. And then when I was a child, we used to go in summertime to spend time with my grandparents, and they will have a beautiful palm tree in their house. Massive. For years. I lost the count how many years. But that place is warm. When we are Christians, we need to be in churches that are on fire for the Lord. Then we grow. But when we go to churches that is cold and people complaining and people, you know, grumbling, grumpy people and people don't care. Thank you for this morning when Kelly reminded us that that's what the young people are looking for. To see people who are on fire for the Lord. We grow. But what happened with the palm tree? Die in cold places. So these people, these young people will go to churches when there is no enthusiasm. There is no love for the Lord. It's not about loving. You remember what Jesus said, if you love me, what is it? Keep, obey my commandments. It's not about that wishy-washy love. No, no, no. Jesus said, if you love me, so if a church wants to be on fire, we need to what? Keep his commandments. And we grow like a palm tree. That's the picture. But I like another picture. When I was preparing this, I have a fan because I have to check, you know. But now this is another one. Palms are often associated with a tropical paradise. You want to be on holiday. You see? You know, palms are associated with a tropical paradise. The psalmist is saying that we are supposed to be like palm tree. So when people come to our churches, come to our church, you know, the church will be a paradise. We go there. We are anointed. And people said, young people said, I want to learn this guy experiences. I want to learn this woman experiences. And then we grow. Palm tree. I am excited about this picture. And then another one. A group of palm trees form what? An oasis. Have you seen those movies when the main character is dying and then looking and then what they are looking for? An oasis. So one palm tree cannot do so much, but a group of palm trees can form what? An oasis. That is the righteous. One righteous, another righteous, another righteous. We form an oasis. And then, you know, another thing that happened with the oasis is that the travelers find what? Comfort there. Protection. That's what people are looking for in churches. But not only that, they found out that in an oasis, there are plants of lemon or oranges, plant trees, they grow in, you know, under their cover. Those little plants are there. That is what we are supposed to do. We have to encourage these young people when they come to us. We have to encourage those people who, the new people, the new preachers, the new musicians, the new Sunday school teachers, we need to encourage them. And they will grow. Maybe they are going to do things different. But the most important, how we show love, is when we keep his commandment. Now, in how we do that, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, shall we read that together? Sometimes people forget that, you know, in some churches. And the evening service is like a day, oh, it's only morning, and then you forget completely. Let's read together Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. No. Amen. We flourish like a palm tree, and we are going to make an oasis when we are together. We have a cafe church service. Let's come and have coffee and tea together. We have another service. Let's come have fellowship group, home groups. Now, the second picture is that he shall grow like a what? A cedar in Lebanon. Oh, I love this one as well. Another picture, you know. A cedar in Lebanon. I was looking for, again, what is the picture? Well, this is the first one. It's very strong. So when I see a Christian, a righteous person, is a strong person. It doesn't matter how old he or she is, have to be strong. I want to be like him. I want to be like her. And now the second picture is very beautiful. So when I see you and you are with the Lord, you are beautiful. How you see the same on me? No, oh, seriously, you know, that is the picture of a cedar in Lebanon. Now the next picture is that is an evergreen. It's always beautiful. You remember I took the funeral of my friend Donald Ron Denhart. He died when he was 96, and he was strong. The last meal we have together. He was dying. He had been giving a few days. We went to visit him with Cecilia. And this is a 96-year-old man. And, you know, still on the Lord. He knew that he was dying. And he had fish and chips. And he almost finished. And he looked so well, my brother. Evergreen. Beautiful, listen. That is the picture in the Bible. Now, I like this picture. It says, it's wood, the cedar in Lebanon, the wood is expensive, fragrant, sweet. So I love to be with people like Ron Denhart. They are sweet. They are not miserable, trying to criticizing everyone and trying to put people. No, that is the picture. I don't know about the next one that said insect repellent. Well, that's what I was looking for. But I was trying to think, what is that? Maybe when those insects come to church, they will have to go. I don't know. I was trying to think. You know, I love this one. Now, I love the next one about the cedar. They said, he shall go, let's say it together. It lives many years. The cedar in Lebanon. It is an ancient tree and it grows as long as it lives. Beautiful. See? Some trees and some animals, they grow, for example, 100 years, but they only grow until 90, something like that. No. The picture from the Bible is that a righteous person, you, when you are sold to Jesus, when we are consecrated, we are going to bring fruit. Ron Denhart brought fruit until the last day of his life. That's the picture. Do you want to be like that? I hope I can be like that. I retire now. You know, sorry, I have to say, you know, my father is 76. A few months he was losing his voice. God provided. He had the operation. Now his voice is so clear. And he's taking these services in Sunday mornings again. And he's preaching in some Sunday schools. He goes to very poor areas. They have Sunday school, 30 children. Still giving, bringing fruit. Beautiful. That is the picture the psalmist is giving to us. Now, before we come to communion, the last point I see in this psalm is that he gave us a description on why and how the righteous is supposed to grow. Now, sometimes as a Christians, we don't know, what is it I have to do? Or I don't know how to do it. What is the will of God for my life? And then, let's put it, you know, here I have experts on planting and you have your allotment and that. So, I don't know too much about it. So, okay, if I have some seed and I plant something here, for example, I have tomatoes. I'm going to plant tomatoes. I don't know how you do it, but anyway, you plant it. Okay, now you plant it here. Where the tomatoes are supposed to grow? Yeah, okay, yes. But here, isn't it? If I planted the tomatoes here, I nurture it, I look after it, I water it. We have to grow. And I'm supposed to have tomatoes. So if I'm doing that effort, I have to have tomatoes. So I will save some money. I will not get it from Morrison's. You know, I have tomatoes. But here, not there. And it's the same with God. Verse 13 says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. We are supposed to bring fruit. If we are planted, why is it that people are so miserable? Some people start walking with the Lord and then they deny their faith. You know why? It's because they try God to do what they want. Sometimes they seem to know better. Why God is doing this to me? The word said, planted where? In the house of the Lord. It doesn't say this, you know. The word says, plant. Shall we read it together? Planted. The scriptures does says planted. It doesn't say those who attend the house of the Lord. You know, I go to church every Sunday. No. Those who visit the house of the Lord? No. Planted in the house of the Lord. Those who are in Christ, those who live for Christ, who are rooted in Christ and live a good Christian life. We visit church regularly, we attend a church service, but are we really living according to God's will? Are we keeping ourselves away from sinful activities of the world? God's blessings is upon the ones who live and practice these things, planted. When we observe the churches today, sadly, most of the people who call themselves Christians are failing to bloom. We are not growing. They just visit the church. They just attend, yet they are not really committed physically, emotionally, or spiritually. They attend the church because their parents force them to go. Come on, Sunday. Come. Or maybe there is because their friends go. They attend because of tradition. We are a Christian country, so it's fashionable that I am a Christian, so I'm going there. But we are not planted in the house of the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, there's a great debate about this. You know, some scholars, you know, sometimes, I am non-academic, you know, and people say, well, this is an interesting verse, verse 13. They actually plant trees in the temple court. Some people say, how they planted the trees? And they start discussing, arguing about this. Well, it's a picture. It's a picture. It's, for me, it's just a picture. Are we supposed to be worldly? So if I am planted, I'm supposed to be planted in the world? No. I'm supposed to be planted where? In the house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? In the scripture, in prayer, in commitment. The soil for us is to be in the house of the Lord. That's the soil. That is where we are. Planted in the word of God. This is our foundation. Keep your roots in the temple soil. And then something happened. They will still bear fruit in all age. Wonderful. When the body is packing up, when you have pain and aches, you still flourish. You still flourish. Because you are planted, non-tradition, but in the temple court. They will stay fresh and green. Oh. My friends, I'm sorry, I have to give examples. The picture of Ron coming, this man looks so well, and he has cancer. He was supposed to die 20 years ago. But he was fresh and green. Before we come to the Lord's table, and let me ask you some questions. You don't have to answer. Are you satisfied with where you are with God? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied to grow no more? You got it all. You cannot learn anything else. You know it all. Or maybe you know that you have to grow. What is hindering? Oh, I'm too old. No, you are not too old. Oh, I'm too young. You are not too young. God wants to use you. God wants to make you a palm, like a palm tree, like a zira in Lebanon. My friends, as we come to the Lord, let's ponder ourselves and think if God is happy with our doing and living. Maybe he's coming this week. Or maybe he's coming in 100 years. Are you ready? Or maybe tomorrow we have to leave this planet. Are you ready? We have many different opportunities to minister here in our church and in our community. It is our relationship with God where our faith should be. Then we will bloom, where we are planted here, and we will bear fruit for the people in need. So they will see Christ, like Kelly was saying. The students are going to see, I want to be like that person. I want to be like that person, like a palm tree, like a cedar in Lebanon. Not a miserable person. Not a person that who don't love the Lord. That's what they are looking for. Examples of love, of commitment, real love, not hypocrisy. That's what the Lord is hoping to install in us. Oh, my friends, as we come to the Lord's table this evening, I want you to think for a moment tonight, why are we here in Bangor, September 2018? What can I do for my people and for Christ? Can you ask? God has placed you here for a reason. He has enabled you for a purpose. Let's not be selfish. Let's surrender our lives completely to Him. And there will be an explosion of blessings in this place. Five missionaries sang this song before entering the Ecuadorian jungle. And that was one of the reasons I was inspired when I heard their story. In January of 1956, they were murdered by Guarani warriors. And they still bear fruit, my friend. They sang. They knew that they were going to die. We rest on thee, our children, our defender. We gonna fall alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. That place where they die is one of the largest Baptist churches in Latin America. They're still bringing fruit. And yet in churches, people fight about worship. People fight over how we should worship, how we should preach, how we should move the chairs. These missionaries went there and died. I'm asking you to go and die. Just to consider what the psalmist is saying. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Remember, God has a plan for us to do, and He expected us to do it. We must be willing to grow, and we must be willing to bloom where God has planted you, here in Bangor. For us, or maybe you are hearing this sermon somewhere else, there where you are. In this living today, let us remember that we are just to surrender our lives to Him, and we will still bear fruit in all age, and we will stay fresh, proclaiming the Lord is upright, He is our rock, and there is no wickedness in Him. Let us pray. Let's bow our heads and pray before we come to communion this evening. Oh Father, purify our heart. Change us. Help us not to be cold, but on fire for you. Forgive us when we want our way and not your way. Touch all of us in this church and help us to be faithful to you so we can be like palm tree, like the cedars in Lebanon. And we can bear so much fruit even when we are old. For your glory. Amen.